In my mind, I was like, no, no, that might have worked for you, but my cancer is rare.
Yeah.
1 in 100,000 women have this. My doctor is pushing for me to do this really quickly. It might have worked for you, but it won't work for me. And he just very kindly was like, if you are willing to change your lifestyle, you can heal this naturally. You have time. And that was the biggest thing that I needed to hear.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. Today, I have a kind of unique episode. So I'll just give you a quick, this is not a normal, we're going to talk about cancer, all right? We're going to talk about nutrition and kind of part of the journey. You know, part of Sales Funnel Radio has been to document my journey along the way. Well, this is us documenting, and we have been on a significantly better course of health in the last, like physical health, and your mental health has a lot to do with that as well. But really, really in the last, I mean, it's August 9th, 2022 that I'm recording this. And what happened was December of last year, we had this really scary health scare. And Marley was actually diagnosed with cancer. And she had a form of cancer that was still very early, which is great. But she was being encouraged like crazy to go get a surgery, to start like, you know, to get right on into it. And please know, as I play this recording that I'm about to go over to, I'm not bashing doctors at all. We are not bashing the health system at all. But it was extremely apparent, very apparent, as we started doing our own research and then going to private doctors after the public doctors and going and getting private blood tests compared to the public blood tests and things connected to insurance, it became very apparent that there was two different storylines and motives. And that was really, really freaky. And so we have shared this stuff and journey with so many people now that we're like, okay, it's time for us to just make like some content together on this and let's just tell the story. So Marley and I filmed this together as a YouTube video that went on her channel. And I'm very excited to share that with you. And so I decided just to grab the audio and this audio piece. This is how Marley cured her own cancer using nutrition and just better lifestyle. And everyone's situation is different. By no means are we doctors, and we're not even trying to, you know, this is not advice. All right. You understand? We're just sharing what it is that we've gone through. I mean, we've taken much better care of our health since the beginning of this year. I'm actually down 27 pounds and just feel so much better. I sleep better. I need to sleep less actually. And I still feel fine. Like focused. Go figure on nutrition, you know, it's not like the only thing that cured us, you know, prior to the 1800s could have come from a yellow bottle with a white cap. You know what I mean? It's a body's amazing piece of technology. So, hey, without further ado, I'm going to stop this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to click over to, you're going to hear the audio of this kind of side-by-side chat that Marley and I did talking about her curing journey, right? Her health care journey. And, I think you're going to like it. If you've, again, not advice, everyone's situation is different. By no means are we saying to not listen to your doctors. My gosh, that's not what we're saying at all. But the biggest thing that freaked both of us out was the whole, you got to get these surgeries tomorrow. I mean, we literally were asked, you got to go do this tomorrow. And others were saying, you have time. Like, what if you just take better care of yourself? Like, and it was like such a different message from so many places. It was a whirlwind in and of itself. And that was a big, big moment for me to realize that. And I had never realized how much control I had over something like a big disease like that. You know what I mean? I always thought it kind of like took you by against your will and you're kind of SOL. You just kind of cross your fingers and you're like, okay, like I hope that this works out, you know. And you know, with as much reverence as needed for such a topic as this, but also with the amazing amount of, you know, eyes wide open, oh my gosh, that we've learned in the last 7 months on this topic has been really the driving force behind us doing an episode and content together on a topic like this. So, all right, without further ado, let's dive in.
This isn't the typical content that I put on my channel. We're always talking to entrepreneurs and talking about business and marketing and lead generation. But the things that I want to share is also something that I think that anyone who's looking to improve their life and their health and how they show up in the world and optimization, biohacking, anything, the things that I learned can really help anyone's life. So I wanted to share about my cancer story and have your help in sharing it, because honestly, there are parts that I'm pretty foggy on. I don't remember much of the phone call that we got.
Yeah.
So I'll start from the beginning.
Very good place to start.
Very good place to start. When you start at the middle and then you have to flash back, there's leaves room for confusion. So 2 days before Christmas, we got a phone call.
2021. Yeah.
Which really wasn't that long ago.
No.
We got a phone call. It was from my doctor. We had actually just gone, Stephen came with me, gone in for a procedure because something was found just in a regular screening that was a little bit off and just didn't, you know, look good. And they were just going to remove it. I had a biopsy at that time and they were like, it's probably fine. And so I didn't think anything of this. They called. I thought she was just checking in because it was just, I think it was just a few days before. And she said to me on the phone, I don't remember much of this call. I remember her saying adenocarcinoma and hysterectomy. And I have a little bit of a health background, so I know adeno means gland, carcinoma means cancer, but it didn't register. Like what I heard mostly was hysterectomy.
Yeah.
And I remember getting off the phone
and
looking at you and just...
It was on speaker, luckily both of you.
Yeah. And you were like, okay.
All right.
And I think I shed one tear because I was just shocked.
Yeah.
And then kind of just went serious. And I was like, hysterectomy, I'm 31. I'm thinking like how that would change my life and just feeling like that's so permanent and then being told what to do. And they're saying, you know, come back in next week after Christmas and we'll make plans to have a surgery. We want to get this out as soon as possible. And adenocarcinoma in the cervix. In researching, she said something on the phone about it being like, you know, we didn't expect this. It doesn't happen very often. And I Googled it and it was like 1 in 100,000 women had this kind. And, but I still didn't register what was happening at that time.
It took probably 6 weeks. And there's multiple times where you're like, I need you to tell me I have cancer. I need you to tell me I have cancer. And you would say that, you know, which is understandable. I mean, they're like, come on, it's shocking news.
I remember when I shared it publicly, I felt like I was lying to people and that people were going to say like, no, you don't. And I remember having a conversation with McCall Jones saying like, I'm shaking that I even just shared that because I like don't want people thinking that like I did it for attention. And she's like, maybe you do need attention, you know, you need love and care and support right now.
Yeah.
And that was always hard to ask for. One of the things that I learned in sharing that is like, I always say this in regular content when I'm talking about like marketing or your story or whatever, you never know who's watching that could be inspired by what you say. But what I learned from that experience was you never know who's listening that could be an answer to what you need. Because when we first got this call and we went back to the doctor the next week after Christmas, it was like, okay, let's book this surgery. Let's get it out as soon as possible. Let's move quickly. And in my mind, I was like, I just want to get this over with. I can't believe this is happening. Like, let's get this over out. And luckily, the doctor wasn't always as quick to respond to me very quickly as promptly. So the surgery didn't get scheduled as soon as I had imagined that it would. And in that time, again, I was in such a fog, so I don't really remember. I remember just having a lot of moments where I could just like stare at the wall and just go totally blank. I remember one particular weekend. You just like let me lay down and I was just, you and the kids were doing things and I was just, the lights were on and no one was home. I think I was coping by working, which is crazy that we had just started this new big company and I didn't.
Like literally it just started.
Days before.
Yeah.
Didn't expect to have something to knock me off my feet that quickly.
And starting a company will do that, let alone this.
Yeah.
You know? And what was hard too is like, watching what was happening, because So we went back to the doctor, and the doctor was like, look, if you got time next week, we got to have this. Like, seriously, the push for the hysterectomy was so hard, and it caused such an internal panic in both of us that this is like, she literally was like, Marley, this is a ticking time bomb, and you have to, like, we got to get this out immediately. And to hear what the doctor was saying and this internal, just like, oh my gosh, you got to go. Like, you got time. So we were trying to find time to schedule. We're looking at campaign calendars, trying to find white space for a surgery to potentially, like, save life, you know? It was really, really intense. So, yeah, it wasn't uncommon to see, you know, you kind of drifting off and mentally, and who wouldn't, you know? But that was aggressive. That was a lot. And luckily, because of the doctor not coming, you know, and they didn't schedule forever, even though they were like, next week, let's go. We had other friends that are in the health space, specifically in the area of, you know, healing cancer and other minors, reaching out and starting to actually point in really valuable directions.
I appreciated. So we got on a call with our friend Chris Wark that I'll link his book below. It's called Chris Beat Cancer. His story is incredible. I think he was like 26, was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, and he had a surgery, and then they told him, you know, you do chemo and radiation and all these things. And his story is like, in the hospital after surgery, they gave him a sloppy Joe. And that was his sign to be like, what? How are they trying to heal me, but they're giving me a sloppy Joe? Something just like didn't feel right to him. And so that's when he decided that I'm not going to have chemo or radiation. I'm going to heal this naturally. And his book shares his whole story. It's now an amazing cookbook that we have and we love.
Yeah.
And also a course that's incredible. Thousands, I hope hundreds of thousands, I hope millions of people go through this, because the information he's providing is game-changing and incredible. And I'm so glad that we had a call with him, and he talks to cancer patients every single day. And he was never once pressuring. Of course, with all the information he knows, he has so many resources and probably a lot of motivation behind him to try to point people onto the right path. But I imagine he's been doing this for long enough that he knows that you can't change somebody or change their mind. They have to do that themselves. And so for me at this time, he's, you know, gently pointed me into some direction, saying, here's my book, here's my course, you know, just watch these before making any decisions. And in my mind, I was like, no, that might have worked for you, but my cancer is rare.
Yeah.
1 in 100,000 women have this. My doctor is pushing for me to do this really quickly. It might have worked for you, but it won't work for me. And he just very kindly was like, if you are willing to change your lifestyle, you can heal this naturally. You have time. You have time. That was the biggest thing that I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I didn't receive it yet, I was like, thank you. I appreciate that, but it won't work for me. And it was a few more weeks before I really got that. And then we also started working with an incredible doctor named Dr. Kelly Shockley. I will also link her information below, because she is someone else that I will shout from the rooftops to whoever will hear it. We did these extensive blood panels with blood, hair, urine, where she gets a full body workup of what is going on in the body instead of just a local area, so that we can understand why the cancer was formed and how to heal the cause, not just the cancer. And so she also was saying, you know, Marley, not pushing anything. I love that they both met me where I was at. She just said, hey, how about we just see the test results before taking out any body parts? Can we do that? And I agreed to that.
It was cool because, like, when we talked to Chris Wark and he's like, you have time. It was the first time where I had like this gap in my head. Because the previous doctor was like, you got time next week, you know, pushing it. And so when Chris was like, look, you got time, you're okay, but just start looking in other places and educating yourself. And that opened up the possibility. And we started learning about just deep nutrition stuff, talking with other doctors. And it was nice working with Kelly, because when we got back all those lab results, you know, it was like comparing public insurance-backed doctor advice with private full blood panel workup and all the data you could ever want in your life. And it was a different story.
And that's where I started to see the data instead of the emotions, and started to realize, just have the awareness where I was making decisions based on fear that I was kind of external, and then was able to see the data and just some other really positive influences that were showing me another option. I remember coming up to you in your office one day, and I was like, if I have this surgery, am I like waving the white flag? Am I not fighting for the right thing? And we struggled with it for a while. And honestly, at that point, I was like, whatever decision I make is going to be the right one. Because I'm going to go all in on either decision I make. Whether I go try to heal this naturally, I'm going to go all in on that. Whether I do have the surgery, I'm going to go all in on that. But I just became obsessed with researching. And I was reading medical papers. And I was in a Facebook group called His.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Sisters and seeing all these other women's experiences, although none of them had what I had. And that was really hard for me too, is I was researching who, like, women who have adenocarcinoma. And there was one woman I found on YouTube, and she only made one video.
And you're like, where's the other video?
Where's this the is rest so valuable. We need like, to find... I needed her. So that was also a lesson to me of like, you got to keep creating your content.
Yeah, I'll just keep publishing. People need it. Yeah.
That said, I totally took a break from creating content because I just did not have the emotional capacity. And,
understandable.
It's hard to show up authentic when you are not grounded.
Yeah.
So
we started changing a lot of lifestyle stuff, and like a lot. We learned
everything.
Oh my gosh. We started realizing how much our environment is just toxic, toxic. We've never had more toxic environment in our entire life in the history of the world than right now. Mm-hmm. It's super toxic. We looked up our water data, public water.
Oh
my gosh. If you want to see, and this isn't like some far-fetched thing, it is published by the government. Go to look on the government's.
EWG.org. You can go to the tap water database, I think is what it's called, water database. Put in your zip code and you can see what is in our water. Where we live right now, legal does not mean safe.
And illegal doesn't mean they still won't send you water.
In our water, there is like 92 times the amount of healthy, what should be in the water, arsenic. We are drinking arsenic. And there was
it's like 147
chloroform,
times.
Chloroform,
yeah.
Haloacetic acid, like all these. And there, in ours, there's like 19 different kinds of chemicals that we are drinking in tap water.
And we're near the mountains. We figured that we would have the water being filtered to the mountain. Not true. Like, there's a lot of farmland in this area as well. All the pesticides, you're drinking them, and it just wreaks havoc on your immune system. And so water was a huge thing. We put in filter systems in the house.
I'm going to make a separate video at some point, too, to share everything that we did, because it's a huge rabbit hole, and I researched a ton. I tried some things I decided over others. But in getting these tests, the extensive blood panels that we did with Kelly Shockley, it showed us I had a lot of heavy metals built up in my body.
Yeah.
Like bismuth, uranium, aluminum, lead. Like, where are they coming from? There was more than that even, too. And it's like, where are they coming from? They're coming from our environment. And so if your body doesn't have the right nutrients, like, did you know your body needs, your blood cells need iron. If you don't have enough iron, your cells will latch on to lead. And if your body is building up heavy metals, your immune system is going to attack the heavy metals instead of the other things going on in your body. So Kelly, and she's amazing. I talk to her every single day. What kind of doctor actually spends that much time and care and attention? She's incredible. Please, like, just reach out to her if you ever need. And it doesn't just have to be about cancer. It can be anything. She pointed me in this direction of, like, this is why it could have been caused. Also, I was on birth control for over 15 years. That was another thing that I just felt so blindsided by, because it was recommended by my doctor. Even doctors I've heard recently to me and in the past saying, like, you don't need to just take birth control pills so that you don't need to have a period, menstrual suppression. That cuts off the communication between your ovaries and your brain. Ladies, that is your fifth vital sign. There are so many things that I learned in all of this that isn't taught to us in sex ed growing up, like the phases of your menstrual cycle and how you can use that to your strengths and weaknesses and know when to rest and know when to play and know when to create. And it's really like the four seasons of seasons. There's a great book, In the Flow, Elisa VT. I'll link it below as well. Like, so many things that I felt so emotional about, and I'm so glad that we had Kelly and Chris and another friend, Owen, who actually has a YouTube channel called Beat Cancer with me, Owen, that they all just got on calls with me and were so generous with their time and showed me you can heal this naturally. Diet, nutrition, detoxing, fasting. Fasting.
Fasting was a beat.
There's a whole other YouTube video we could make.
I cleaned up a bunch with that one. That was
awesome. Because when you're fat, sometimes we've heard people that they kind of like scoff, like, you're starving yourself.
Starving yourself? Like, no, you're cleaning yourself.
You're cleaning. You're, instead of your body digesting, it's like disposing. It turns into a garbage disposal, an incinerator, taking the bad stuff. It's called autophagy or autophagy, however you want to say it, that it's eating up the weak or the bad cells in your body instead of the strong ones that we need.
Yeah.
So
it was cool to see the data from Kelly, because like when we were with the public doctor, it was very much like red alert, freak out. When you got time next week, let's go. No explanation, just like, ah, and it was panic inducing. And we were pretty shaken after that. I was shaken after that. And I remember when we finally got the data back from Kelly on the blood stuff, it was so many things that showed like, hey, here is, oh, this was wild. Here's what the measurement and the range of what health is in today's age for that metric and blood amount and the amount of whatever in your blood. And then here's what it was 50 years ago. And all the metrics of what it means to be healthy are way wider. So you could be actually unhealthy compared to 50 years ago standard, but your doctor will tell you you're healthy because of today's standard so much broader. And so what it gave us was the fuel to figure out, this is exactly what we need to be eating and not. This is exactly, do you really know how much vitamins and minerals you're supposed to be taking? They customized all of our vitamin packs to our actual individual blood strength.
We have crazy. We have different.
We got different ones, obviously, but and then we changed obviously the water, the food, shampoo, deodorant. You have no idea how bad deodorant. Like, oh my gosh, we changed everything.
I'm gonna make some videos sharing like what's in my bathroom now, what's in our pantry, what's
toothpaste. Like, holy smokes, you figure out all this stuff is gonna be fine, but you're consuming heavy metals and stuff. We basically have learned, and keep in mind, disclaimer, we're not doctors, all right? So whatever disclaimers are needed, we just set them. Deal. By watching, you just agreed. Okay? But what we learned, though, is that every one of us basically has cancer all the time. And when you get cancer is when your body lacks the ability to fight it off anymore. And what happens is your body starts to attack and go after heavy metals, prioritizing that, and the cancer goes up. You get cancer in your blood. Again, this is what we learned. Not doctors, you get cancer in your blood way before you get cancer on an organ or anywhere else. So that's how they can test. So we ended up taking these test results back to the public insurance-backed doctor and showed it to her.
And she didn't really know.
She didn't know what they were. I was like, you are diagnosing that people get organs out? She only knew what two of the five cancer markers were that we brought back to her. She didn't even know what the other three were.
That's one of the things that I just really want to, this is what I would have told myself back then and something that I tell to friends now or strangers. And honestly, I love when I hear from people online. Like, I'm so happy to share any resources. Don't hesitate to reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook. I have a whole Instagram story highlight of my whole journey through this, and I'm more than happy to share or just talk anything with you. What I would go back in time and tell myself is that you have to be an advocate for your own health. The doctors may know how to treat, but they aren't always looking at how to heal.
Yeah,
Kelly
sure.
Shockley was the first person that came to me and said, "Here's, let's look at how to heal the cause, not just remove body parts." And of all the freaking years that this earth has been around, the only cure to cancer is not a patented pill, or how you say, like a little white pill in an orange bottle with a white cap.
You know what I mean? Like, our body's not how to heal. We just got to give it space to do that. And so creating healing-based environments has been a huge focus. And I mean, we have an infrared sauna, the sweat out toxin, like,
huge.
And I always kind of made, to be honest, I made fun of it. Like, were you going to detox again? Yeah. When I went and did the blood stuff and showed, like, I have a ton of heavy metal in me as well. And, you know, it used to be that as a kid, I felt like when you're in your 60s and 70s, you heard of people getting cancer, but now it's all our friends in the 30s. You know what I mean? It's like, this is something to look at.
That was hard.
Yeah.
And it's a journey of healing physically, mentally, emotionally. We work with an incredible coach who was actually the first person to help me accept. Like, he was the first person that had me say the words from my mouth, "I have cancer, Dimitri. Love you. You're amazing." Yeah. And we did an ayahuasca ceremony. It was actually my 10th ayahuasca ceremony where I spoke to my cancer. And in this ceremony, I said to the cancer, I thanked it. I said, "Thank you so much for everything that I've learned from you. And I'm going to continue to grow and keep learning in your absence. I can learn more in your absence. So I dismiss you now." And the message I received back was that, "Marley, you're not ready to let go of the cancer because you're not done feeling the emotions from it yet." And I'm sitting there in this ayahuasca ceremony just like, well, okay, I'm here. Like, what emotions am I supposed to feel? Like, I'm here to do the work. Let's go. And I didn't realize how angry I was.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I was angry. And I didn't really know why I was angry, because I was just, at first, I was just, okay, if this is happening to me, I was trying to like justify why it was happening. Okay, if I get cancer now, maybe it'll save Steven from ever having cancer and I can take this on so that Steven doesn't have to. Like, I was trying to justify how I could make it right in my mind. And I just had to finally let it go and just, you know what, have a pity party for a moment and be like, I've survived so much already. Things that I haven't shared publicly yet. And how could this happen to me? And how can the food and the pharmaceutical and all these industries be financially incentivized from people who are sick and even making people sick? Like, you know, even doctors who let me or even encouraged me to be on birth control for 15 years. Like, I felt angry. I was so mad. And I think I cried it out and was able to at least like acknowledge it so that I could then move on. And we work with an amazing coach that we continue to work on those things.
So you end up changing lifestyle and putting together, you know, Marley's extremely strict. And we cut out just tons of stuff, started juicing smoothies like crazy. I think I've had more greens in the last 6 months than I did easily the earliest 6 years before that. Oh, like,
I'm excited to share.
It's amazing. We give your body the right thing. Your body is so intelligent, but you got to give it the space to heal.
I'm excited to share in some other videos, like some of the apps that I use, the recipes that I've found that have just, because it's a lot. And one of the reasons why at first when Chris Wark said, if you're willing to change your lifestyle, you can heal us naturally, I was like, I don't know if I can change my lifestyle. Like, this just seems like too much. I made a choice and I became obsessive about it. And so I'm really excited to share one of these things with you. And I'd love to hear from you guys, like put in the comments if there's any specific questions or any requests for videos that I can make, because I really love talking about this because it's changed my life so much. And I'd love to share with you the good news.
Yeah, I think that it's going to remind you.
It was a really good...
It's good news.
I don't know if it's like...
Recent.
It's like, I don't want to call it a happy ending because it's not a finish line, but it's a lifestyle. It's a new lifestyle that we've opened the doors to. Is we went to the doctor 2 weeks ago for another just screening. And in that conversation, she encouraged the surgery again and just...
But couldn't tell us why.
Yeah, even after showing her the data.
After showing all the data, it blew my mind.
and just reiterated her concern that it would be risky and that if I didn't have the surgery, it would go deeper and could be cut because it's in the glands. We have glands all over our body. I understand the concern, and I was exactly had that fear as well. And then last week, got my test results from that screening and no evidence.
Worked. And we are no way are telling you to not go get something. We're saying that there's just options and way more education out there. And we're only 6 months really into this journey.
And it's not over.
It's not like, over. There's a lot of stuff to go for.
In the results, it said no evidence, but there is a benign area left. My cancer markers are still a little higher than we want them to be. So we're still working on that. And it's also, I'm not just going to go back to what I can't unlearn what I know now. And I can't not share it with people because it's only with the power of the pharmaceutical industries and food and just the stuff in our environment. People just need to know. So
yeah. And it's not like we are just like eating rabbit food 24/7 either. We'll certainly get a pizza. Well, you know what I mean? Like it's about increasing the moving average. Mm-hmm. And so we just increase their moving average and we're way more healthy now and have just good things around us. I mean, we even have air filters now. I mean, just we changed everything. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see. I think for me, from my perspective, what's been so powerful is to see how much control we actually do have. The whole idea that, oh, it's in my genes. You know, this is in my genes. It's out of my control. It's been proven.
That's hard to hear.
The way you live and what happens to you is 75% in your control. Only 25% has actually to do with your genome. 25%. So walking around saying it's in my genes is actually garbage. 75% is completely in your hands and it's all lifestyle and how you choose to show up and live in the world. And there's a lot of education out there and things you can do for your health. And
So thanks for watching. Please comment below if you have any questions or requests for future video ideas that we can make for you about this topic. Feel free to reach out to me on Instagram, Instagram.com/MarleyJax. I have a whole Instagram story highlight with my journey from beginning to end. Some of it was a little emotional, of course. Actually, a lot of it is pretty emotional. And I just shared the journey as it unfolded and it's going to continue to unfold. And I'm happy to support anyone watching. While you're here, please subscribe. Go over to Steve's channel, subscribe to him. I'll put his link below as well. And thanks for watching.
We love you guys.
You've obviously heard me say how important publishing content is in this internet game. And if you can't tell, I like making content. If you'd like to interview me on your show, summit, podcast, live stream, you name it, you'll find it all on stevejlarson.com. It's about halfway down the page. Also, if you've taken the plunge into live events, I love speaking on stages as well, by the way, go to stevejlarson.com, scroll about midway down the page where it says interview Steve, and let me know what I could talk about that your audience would get the most from. Go to stevejlarson.com and let's chat.